Greetings. You're going to want to watch the Manifest telecast today as I begin to relate, not only using the scripture, but tell you a story, a very stunning story of a coma patient and death, and how this person came out of a coma and what they had to say. It's a very stunning story involving a car accident many years ago with a very close friend of mine that later entered the ministry. Now, you're going to hear me say this over and over again because I want to press this into your spirit. There are some people that believe that when you die, well, that's the end of it, and you just go blank and don't remember anything. There's others that believe that when you die, you come back reincarnated as something, and you die again, and you're reincarnated as something else. That has no biblical basis whatsoever. In fact, it's not true. Here's what the scripture teaches. That every human person born on the planet is a tripart being. You have body, soul, and spirit. Now, let me explain those to you another way, as we've mentioned it in the past two programs, but let me explain it to you this way. In the body, we are told in Leviticus 17:11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. The center of my body is my heart. My heart beats blood throughout my body, and that's what keeps me living. If the heart quits beating, death will set in. Now, the Bible teaches us that there is a soul. Now, in the Hebrew, it's called nefesh, and it actually means the life force, the force of life. So, when the life of the flesh is in the blood, the life force of our flesh is in the blood, but the soul is also linked to the five senses. It's also connected with the brain and with the heart. So when I talk about the soul of a person, we're talking about the consciousness. We're talking about the ability to think and the ability to reason, both in the body and outside of the body. Now we have the third part, which is the spirit. Now the best way for me to describe your spirit is to say it is the twin living inside of your physical body. This is the part of you, and I'll paraphrase a statement that Paul made in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that we will be known one day as we were known. Because people often ask me, do you think I will know my mom and dad in heaven? Absolutely. Will I know all of my family members and close friends that are there? And the answer is absolutely. One of the stories I like to tell is during the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John had never seen a picture of, nor did not know what Moses or Elijah looked like. And yet, when they awoke, they knew, look, it's Moses, and look, it is Elijah. They knew it by the Spirit of God. So you're going to know everybody. You're going to see Abraham and know, that's Abraham. You're going to see David and know, that's David. You're going to see Noah and say, wow, that's Noah. I've always teased and said there's two questions I want to ask Noah when I get to heaven. Question number one is, why did you let rats in the ark? And question number two is, why didn't you let snakes just drown? Because I personally don't like either one of those. And most people don't either, to be honest. But in eternity, and what eternity is, it means forever. It's just forever and forever and forever. The soul and spirit is eternal. Now, the deal is this, that the soul and spirit is going to go one of two places. It doesn't go into a waiting place. It doesn't go into a purgatorial place. The Bible teaches none of that. It doesn't go to a waiting chamber where people pray it in or out. That's not biblical either. It either goes immediately to Hades or Gehenna or hell. That's the New Testament word. Or it goes to the third heaven, which is in paradise. Now, the spirit has a form to it, and the soul is the consciousness or the awareness part of the human spirit. So my body at death remains, my heart at death remains in my body, and my heart continues to pump blood within my body up until the point of death. The heart quits beating, that's the death of the body. Separation of soul and spirit, as last week's teaching taught you, by the cutting of the silver cord, then sends the person to the one or two locations under the earth chamber, Hades, paradise, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which is located in the third heaven. So the spirit has a form. The soul is the consciousness or awareness within that form of the spirit. But you have another type of body outside of your human body. Now, that body is, that spirit, let me go back to the spirit that's within your body, does not age the way that you age. For example, if your spirit, let's say you're 90 years of age, and you look 90 years of age, perhaps. Well, I'm sure that when you go to heaven, you don't want to look like you're 90 or feel like you're 90. And it seems that most people, and many thousands of people, have had visions or dreams or near-death experiences of seeing their loved ones in heaven. And they will tell you that they look an average of 30 to 35 years of age. It seems 33 is the kind of the point where most of them appear to look. And that would have been approximately the age of Jesus at his death. And, you enter the priesthood at age 30. It's an age of maturity. So that's very interesting. But you have another type of body, but it's not a physical body. It is a spirit body. Now, I'm going to share this story briefly, not give you the details of it, but my grandmother, Lucy Beva, was the sweet little Italian lady who lived in Davis, West Virginia. And oh, how I loved her. She was the most gentle, most kind. She never, ever said a negative word about anybody. If something bad happened to somebody, she'd go, I can do it just like her. Oh, that's bad. Oh, what a shame. But she was very godly. You couldn't touch her life. It was just like spotless as far as anything negative. Well, I had an experience, I think it was about 2 years after her death, and I woke up and I saw my grandmother 5 feet from my bed, and she looked like a hologram. I don't know any other way of saying it. You could see through her, but yet you couldn't see through her. And she's standing there and she looks very young. She said nothing, but I knew what she was thinking. And she told me something and then she just vanished. Now, did God let her literally come here? I don't know. Was it a vision? Definitely that. But it was real. It wasn't in my head because I laid there and said, I've just seen my grandmother. So she had a body, but it's a spirit body. Now, at the resurrection, let's say when Jesus comes back at what we call the rapture of the church, the dead in Christ rise first. And so this mortal body puts on immortality at the resurrection. So everybody who's died has a spirit body in heaven, at the third heaven, right now. And even those that are in hell have a form of a spirit body, but it's still a body. Their physical body is in the ground and in the, in the coffin or in the ground. And like the righteous, the physical body is in the coffin or in the ground. But that spirit body is living outside of that physical body till the resurrection of the dead. And there comes a time when the dead in Christ arise and they receive a brand new body, glorified body, just like Jesus had. And then the people in hell will come out of hell in their spirit body. There's actually has to be a resurrection for that to take place. And then the second death is the lake of fire. And I tell you, that's just a hard thing for me to even talk about because I want everybody who knows me saved. I want every family member in heaven. I want every relative, an in-law, second, third, fifth cousin, however you are in my bloodline, I want to know that the circle's not going to be broken and you're going to follow Jesus all of your life. Amen. And I hope I'm talking to somebody out there right now. Now, here are some points that I want to make about the body, soul, and spirit. When you are awake, and I'm going to get to the coma patient in just a moment, but when you are awake, your mind and body does not operate. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me go back. When you're awake, your mind and body and spirit is all operating. Like I can be awake and God can speak to me. I can be awake and sense something spiritual. I can be awakened by the Holy Spirit, speak something about danger. I can be awake and pray in the spirit because my spirit's praying, right? But when you're sleeping, your body is sort of inactive because all of a sudden your hearing is cut off because if you could hear every sound, you'd wake up. So there's something that happens to the nerves in the ear or the eardrum. I'm not going to go into that. But you can hear if it's a loud noise, but if it's a quiet sound or something, you may not hear. But here's the point. The soul and spirit is still awake. This is how you're able to experience a spiritual dream in your soul or a vision in your spirit while you are sleeping, because the soul and spirit is eternal and it really doesn't rest. Now, you can rest, but your soul and spirit can still be alert. And that's why you can wake up and pick up what just came in the room. I feel something bad, because your soul and spirit is there. Now, your soul can enter into not a sleeping state, but it can relax with your body. Your spirit can relax with your body. So God has a way of shutting out the soul and spirit keeping you awake. Let me say it that way, because he has a natural way of shutting everything down where your body can rest. But your soul and spirit is still in you and is still active, is what I'm trying to say. So in other words, your spiritual ears are still open. Your spiritual eyes are open, even though your physical ears are blocking sound and your spiritual eyes are closed. Your physical eyes are closed. Okay. You can tell I'm a little bit weary trying to get all this across. I want to make sure I'm getting my wording right. Then you can have spiritual visitations when sleeping, because you can go into a trance, and you can go into a trance even while you're awake. The prophet Daniel did that. So you can have a vision in your spirit or see something. I've been actually reading something, and I would close my eyes and just relax, and I would see something come in front of me, and that would be called a vision. So body, soul, and spirit are together, working together as one unit. And when you see me, you see my body. When you hear me speak, you may hear me speak out of my spirit or out of my mind or out of my flesh. And when I'm sleeping, my body's sleeping, my soul and spirit's still awake. So what's a coma? Because that's what we want to talk about. And I'm going to read this from a medical perspective. A coma is a prolonged state of unconsciousness and loss of consciousness caused by a disruption in brain activity. It is similar to a deep sleep, but the brain cannot be awakened by extreme sound or stimuli or sensations, and the person cannot respond to pain. Now, comas happen different ways. Some people have an aneurysm that leads them into a coma. Some people have been in car accidents, even plane accidents, and they have gone into a coma. Some people have been in skiing accidents, and they end up in a coma. And it depends on the level of the brain damage as to whether or not any of the five senses can operate. In a coma, hearing can be blocked or hearing can be opened. And sometimes it's almost like it can go back and forth. Sometimes it appears to be open. Other times it appears to be blocked. Seeing in darkness, there's no sight because the eyelids are closed in a coma, unless, which has happened, the spirit of the person in the coma has an out-of-the-body experience. You can read about that with Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. And it comes out of the physical body in the hospital room. And people have been in comas who have come out of their body, and they've seen the doctors, they've seen the nurses. They can go through a wall, they can go through a door, because it's their spirit that does not have the limitations that has come out of their body that is able to do that. Now, again, they have no feeling in a coma or no response unless their spirit can be alerted and the spirit is still in the body. And you have to remember this, that even though your eyes are closed, and many people, I can't tell you the people that have been in car accidents and actually came out of their body and saw themselves in the accident, saw people talking to them in the accident. Some of them were hovering above, and that was their soul and their spirit that came out of their physical body. Some were revived and came back to their body, and some were later pronounced dead. And of course, the ones that pronounced dead could not come back and tell the story. But those who revived were able to come back and tell the story of how at the accident scene, they saw the car, the truck, the person that hit them. They even heard the conversations. And sometimes they had a 360 vision. They could see behind them, around them, on top and below. Very strange. But outside of a physical limitation of the body, the spirit can do a lot of different things. So in a coma, the body is inactive. It appears to be sleeping. But the spirit can be alerted, and the spirit and soul at times can hear. And that's why it's important that if you know someone in a coma, that you get up into their ear and you speak to them. And you can usually tell if they're listening or there's a response by watching the monitors. And I'll talk about that in a moment if we have time to talk about that. So what about someone that goes into a coma through a very, very serious car accident or something of that nature? Well, I had a friend of mine, and a very personal friend named Richard Madison, and his testimony is very detailed, but I'm going to give you the main part of it. In 1986, Richard at that time was not a Christian. He was what we would term a backslider. He'd been running from God, but his mother was a very strong praying woman who had been praying for him for quite some time, but he experienced a head-on crash. There was no seatbelt. Either there wasn't a seatbelt at that time or he wasn't wearing one, but he was not in a seatbelt. The accident caused numerous broken bones, a broken hip, broken right foot, ribs broken, a lung that collapsed, and he was trapped inside of the vehicle. It was so mangled that he was trapped inside of the vehicle for about 39 minutes, and it was a car. Well, they took him to Vanderbilt University. It's a great hospital there. Many of my friends have gone there in the past. And the doctor pronounced him dead after arrival. So they were going to, of course, you know, the family's coming. They hear about the accident. They're going to be there. They kind of get everybody ready to take him to the morgue in preparation and sign the death certificate. And the doctor had a very strange feeling. This was the doctor that was there when he was pronounced dead to try to do something for him. He said, I had no idea why, but I just felt like I need to do something. So he called for blood, and of course he had many infections. He had a fever. There was no activity going on in the lower parts of the brain at all. And so the doctor ended up, now this is over a period of time, this was not the same day, of course, but he said that he had a total of 124 units of blood that had been given. They had to do several different surgeries on him, and so on. And he was classified, now listen to this, he was classified medically as brain dead and in a coma for 27 days. And the reason he was in it for 27 days is because his mother was seeking God continually, saying, don't let my boy die lost. God, I don't know if he's right with you. And if he died, if he passed away suddenly, he's not right with you. Please don't let my, I want my boy to confess you as Savior. So the mother was holding on to prayer and refused to let them disconnect him. Now they kept him on a life support system. And that's when, now listen to this, this is the part that's interesting. That's when Richard had an out-of-the-body experience. All of a sudden, he sat up in the bed and he looked around. He thought, well, I must be okay. Well, I'm in a hospital, but I must be okay. But he didn't realize it was his spirit coming out of his body. So he leaned over the bed and stood up. And when he did, he looked back and realized he was hooked up there. And I'm giving the brief version of this. And he said, I started walking through the hospital looking around. He said, there was a doctor and a nurse. And I thought, well, they need to move so I can get by. And he said, I went right between them. And they didn't even know it. And then he went through a door. And he went and went to reach for the handle, and his hand went through the handle, and he just walked through the door because he was spirit at that point. His body is there, but his spirit has left his body. He's hooked up to machines. His physical body's hooked up to machines. Then he went to a chapel, and the Lord allowed him to do this. And that's where he heard his mother praying. She was in a blue dress, if I remember right. But she was saying, God, don't let my boy die. Lord, let my boy be saved. And he said, Mom, I'm here. Mom, I'm here. And she didn't hear him, of course. And he said, I went up to my mother, and I want to say it was either her left or right side. It was one side. And he touched her. He took his hand and touched her. And she just said, she felt, later she said, I felt a strange presence to my side. And I looked over, but I didn't see anybody. And Richard kept saying, Mom, it's me. I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. And she prayed for him to be saved. And he stood there in his spirit. His body's in a coma. And he said, oh, God, please help me. I don't want to die this way. I don't want to die lost. Lord, please help me. And he started praying a prayer in his spirit. Now think about this. While his body is in a coma, hearing his mama pray. And he ends up, you know, he prayed out of his body. That's the point I want to make. He prayed out of his body. And he wasn't dead yet. His body is still being, his heart is still pumping by machines. That's a very important point. I don't want to imply that just because people leave their body, then they're able to pray. If everybody could do that out of their body when they died, there'd be nobody in hell, I can guarantee you that. So once the cord is severed and you're out of the body, that's usually it. But his body was still there. So he could still go in and out of the body, out of the body experience. He eventually woke up with a sound mind. 12 doctors came in to take notes on him. They even wrote a medical paper on him. And he woke up and he asked the nurse, he couldn't talk, but he asked the nurse, he says, where's the church? He thought he'd been in a church, but he'd been in the chapel downstairs. And the doctor told him, said, you were a vegetable in a coma. And he said, I've never seen anything like this. It has to be a miracle from another world. When he came back in, he converted, and he did tell me, he said, one time during New Year's, I heard a nurse cussing me out. I'm in a coma, but I hear her cussing me out because she was missing a New Year's party because she was on duty to watch me that night and to work at the hospital. And when he came out of it, I believe he found out who the nurse was and told her, and it blew her mind. So if you know somebody that's in an accident, whatever it might be, and they're in a coma, talk to them in their ear, because hearing is the last thing to go. And I want to give hope to you. If they're not saved, tell them how to receive the Lord. Even if they're not awake and they don't appear to be awake, say, I'm going to pray for you. And in your mind, you agree with me. In your heart, agree with me. Here, I know you can't talk to me. You're in a, you know, because of your situation. Do everything you can. Pray every day until they either pass, or maybe they'll come out of that. You never ever really know what's going to happen. And you know, I remember when my dad was dying, and he was out, and I wouldn't say he was in a coma. He just was not aware of anything, and he was all of a sudden. I mean, this was sudden, and they say this happens. There's a medical term for it. His eyes popped straight open. He looks around at all of us. I said, Dad, hey, Dad. And everybody said, one last, we love you, we love you, we love you. And he closed his eyes, and the next day he was gone. And I always will remember that as long as I live. The biggest thing is that you make your heart ready to serve Jesus and make him Lord and Savior. I have a book that will help you understand some questions a lot of you have had that I've had with the situation that happened with my family recently. The Mystery of Premature Death. Why did you leave us so soon? It's a book I just wrote. I want you to get this.
Rent Up County 911, where is your emergency?
There is a horse trailer and a dually just hit an SUV, drove it all the way across the road.
Okay, yeah, if you could get, just find out if there's any injuries or entrapment.
There is entrapment, I can tell you that right now.
It was 10 o'clock Saturday morning when I FaceTimed my precious second cousin and very dear friend, telling her about my daughter Amanda preparing to trade in her old vehicle for a new one. I did not know it would be my last conversation with my cousin on the earth. Hours later, I received a call that she'd been killed in an intersection in Elkins, West Virginia. For months, I experienced very intense sorrow while wrestling with so many unanswered questions. Why did God allow a 63-year-old woman, a caregiver, with so many future plans to die so suddenly and without warning? For 3 months, I pored over scripture almost day and night for answers. Out of my research and personal grief, I wrote this 209-page book called Why Did You Leave Us So Soon? The Mystery of a Premature Death, to answer my questions and also questions you have asked me over the years. Here's a few chapter titles. There's a time to die and a time not to die. The danger of being with the wrong people at the wrong place at the wrong time. Why are some healed and others are not? Why did one person die yet another person survived the same accident? How does a person break a protective hedge? How Christians can commit a sin unto death. Why do infants suddenly pass away? Does God honor a deathbed repentance? Here's a few more. How sinning Christians can be delivered to the will of Satan. The danger of offending your angel. Suicide and questions about eternity. Why are many Christians sick, weak, and many have died young? Why at times when you need an answer does God seem to say nothing? That's only 12 of the 22 chapters in the book. I want to say this, if you've ever lost a loved one to death and you had many unanswered questions, I hope you will order this book. It answers numerous confusing questions about the mystery of why people seem to die before their time. It will also teach you the biblical principles of learning how to discern coming danger and pray against it. That's a very important part of this book as well. When you order this new book, I'm including a very powerful audio CD that my dad said to me before he passed away. Perry, let people hear this. It's one of the most important messages I've ever heard. Don't go to hell over a mystery. You can call 1-888-21-BREAD or order online at perrystone.org or request offer WWS-146 and include $30 by writing Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Again, that's offer WWS-146. You may not need this book now, but you may need it in the future. I hope you'll order it today.
Well, it's a great delight to share these messages with you, very special messages as well as the brand new resource offer. Last week I mentioned this, that someone said, what does it mean, don't go to hell over a mystery? It's a great story that my dad always told me, if you ever have a chance to
preach this in churches, preach it in as many as you can. And it says, you must forgive God. And this actually is a story of a great missionary that was in the Assemblies of God. And I've only got a minute and a half here to talk, so I don't want to get into it. But this is a part of the offer. Also, you will get a passcode that goes to a powerful video message called 1 Minute to Live. And it's going to be a soul winning video for your family. There is a chapter in this book, and I was sitting one day after my precious cousin died, and I heard the Lord say, death can't change the verb. What in the world does that mean? And this chapter talks about identifying someone as was or identifying someone as they are or as is. And I believe for those of you that have lost someone, you know, especially those that are with the Lord, this is going to get you, that chapter is going to, it's toward the end of the book. It's going to make you smile and get you up out of your seat running around the house. I got so excited when the Lord gave me, death can't change the verb. And so anyway, I just wanted to let you know that all of this is the offer. Thank you for helping us keep Manifest on the air by obtaining this material. We have our Warrior Fest coming out. We have our Prophetic Summit in 2025 coming out. There's going to be a lot of things happen. I mean, natural disasters, wars, all kinds of things in 2025, economic situations from in different parts of the world. But we're just trusting God for one thing, souls coming into the kingdom, because that's what's going to matter when it's all said and done. Go to perrystone.org for more information or Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page. God bless you.
America's premier international prophetic summit is coming in 2025. Come be a part of this dynamic conference April 23rd through 27th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Jonathan Kahn, Mario Murillo, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, John Kilpatrick, Joseph Z., and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Mark your calendars for April 23rd through 27th and register today. Visit perrystone.org for more information.